Now, Paul was a very fine example of a person who had love for the truth of the gospel and the whole counsel of God that he taught from the word of God. Paul had that responsibility of taking the gospel and all related teaching out far and wide, and of course here in Thessalonica. Now, the Thessalonian believers are doing exactly the same thing, of course. And now Paul taught these believers some rather deep things in the truth of the word of God. And it concerned the prophecies of the scriptures. Here they are, 3 weeks old in the Lord, and Paul was teaching them deep things of Bible prophecy. Well, Christians 3 weeks old in the Lord want that? Well, they need it, but they don't go for it. Look in second letter now, the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonian Christians. The second letter in chapter 2. And you can see here, I won't go into the details that they had a false letter. But he said to them in verse 3 onwards, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 onwards, let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come, the day of the Lord for the church, not the day of the Lord for judgment, as the day of Christ coming. Neither be shaken by spirit in, or by word or by letter, as if from us, which it wasn't. Although the day of Christ had come, means the day of the Lord had come, they were still there. The day of the Lord comes after the church is called away to be with the Lord. So let no one deceive you, he says, that day will not come unless a falling away comes first. I won't explain that for the moment. And the man of sin is revealed, the Antichrist. He teaches them about him. In our future too, he's called the son of perdition. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God when it's rebuilt, showing himself that he is God. And he says in verse 5, something important. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? Then he speaks about the restraint of the Holy Spirit in the following verse. And 8, the lawless one comes, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth, destroy the brightness of his coming. Coming of the lawless one, verse 9, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, lying wonders, all unrighteous deception and some. Now, there is Paul teaching deep things of Bible prophecy of the future in the book of Revelation. Now, Paul had that revelation. He spent 3 years in Arabia being taught by the Lord. So that is quite amazing, isn't it? This is what he was doing. This is where he was. He spoke about the Antichrist, the deceiver, the lawless one, all that follows on. All that follows on after the rapture and resurrection of the church. Now, these believers are only 3 weeks in the Lord, as I said. And Paul was only in Thessalonica for 3 weeks, 3 Sabbaths. We saw that in Acts 17. Now, these believers obeyed the word, and they were very effective in their witness all around, in life, the way they lived, and their lip speaking the gospel out. And they caused great joy to the apostle Paul. There was a real comfort and strength. He was very anxiously concerned for wanting to know how their love was going, their faith is growing. Very encouraging too. And Paul was sure that they would stand fast and firm for their Lord. What a testament and a challenge to us, you and me. So Paul prayed for them in 2nd letter, chapter 2, and verse 13. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the gospel, in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So stand fast, he says. Hold the traditions, meaning the teachings, which you were taught, whether by word or epistle. Then he speaks about the Lord Jesus himself and God our Father, who's loved us, given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. And we're in chapter 3. Go back to the first letter with me, would you? Go back to the first letter. And Paul prayed for them, as we know. And in chapter 2, if you will, just look in verses 12 and 13. First letter, chapter 2, 12 and 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. That's a very one. Paul was really praying, concerned for these dear Christians, and so they were. They were standing fast, and they were called to holiness before the Lord, we know. Look in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, and look in verse 7. This is a challenge and a calling for us too. Chapter 4, verse 7. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. A process of sanctification, holiness. It takes a lifetime. And even beyond, when we have a new body, we're perfect then. So chapter 4, verse 1. Here's a summary, if you like. Chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and please God. What a challenge. He challenged these believers. We are challenged to walk with God and please him, just as Enoch did. Enoch walked with the Lord, and the Lord took him because he pleased the Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Now, these believers were known far and wide through Macedonia and Achaia. Go to chapter 4. Look at verses 9 and 10. Chapter 4, 9 and 10. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do, towards all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. The love of Christians and for each other and for others out there whom they knew was such a witness. They abound. A wonderful word. We come to see that in just a moment. So they were. They lived, they loved, they witnessed, they worked among a godless community, and also were willing to teach believers in far and wide. And they showed love for one another, and that was so obvious to many as a witness too. That must have been quite a witness. As you can see in verse 12, that we should walk properly towards those who are outside, unbelievers, that you may lack nothing. Witness of love to other believers too. Well, there we are. Go back to chapter 1, 7 and 8. I know we're looking at these several times. Chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. You became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe, wide area. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so we don't need to say anything. We don't need to make a comment. It's there for everybody to see from you, dear believers. Now, they expected the imminent coming of the Lord. We know that as a pre-tribulation rapture and resurrection of the true church. Now, I'm going to look at four scriptures to prove the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. First of all, chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 10. We're to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus Christ, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, the wrath is not hell, the lake of fire. The wrath is a limited period of the great tribulation, 7 years. The time in the lake of fire is eternal. The time of the wrath of God is 7 years. Book of Revelation makes that very clear indeed. Go to chapter 5 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. There's another evidence that we should not go through the wrath, not go through the tribulation at all. Chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going into the wrath of God. Be taking us out before it happens. That's his word. It's not our imagination. It's a wonderful hope. It's true. Now go back to Romans, please. Would you go back to Romans? Romans chapter 5. Go to Romans chapter 5, would you? And we want verse 9. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Here it is again. Chapter 5 and verse 9 of Romans. Let you find it. Verse 8 says, God demonstrated his love in order to save us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Saved from wrath. There it is. Saved from wrath. Hallelujah for that. The last one is in the book of Revelation 3, and verse 10. Revelation 3 and verse 10. Would you turn to it? Just take our time. Revelation 3 and verse 10. This is the message to a faithful church, Philadelphia, a faithful evangelizing church. Chapter 3 and verse 10. What did he say to them? Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I come quickly, verse 11. I will keep you from the hour of trial. The word there is ek. I'll give you, if you like, a quick exit before that terrible time comes, which will test and judge the world in the wrath of God. He said, you're not going to be in it. I'll keep you from it. Well, there you are, four places in scripture to prove the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. So this will always be, in the sense, the Lord speaking to the church. All that Paul says here will be before the coming day of the Lord, his judgment in the great tribulation. These are the judgments after the church is taken up to be with the Lord, away from this world. Now, back to 1 Thessalonians, please, as we progress. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verses 4 and 5. We're children of light, says Paul. We're not in the dark, which means ignorance, or darkness spiritually too. Chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5, 1 Thessalonians. But now you, brethren, are not in darkness. Oh, true. So that this day, that's the day of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Believers, and you and I, as well as them, are light. And in the light is the contrast to the ever-darkening world around us today, and that's clear, as we wait for the coming of Christ. Go on into chapter 5 and verse 23. Chapter 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, set you apart, make you holy, completely, that will be eventually. And may your whole spirit and soul be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is again. At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preserved, sanctified, set apart, prepared for the coming of the Lord. Are you preparing for the coming of the Lord? Where you live, where you speak, where you witness? I hope so. Go over to the second letter now, to chapter 1 and verse 4. That's what he says. Again, he's speaking to these lovely Christians about them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. So that we ourselves, Paul and his friends, boast of you among the churches. They could tell others about these Thessalonian believers, and we're pleased to do so. For your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation, small t, that you endure. Conflict, afflictions. And they knew it. But they continued faithful to the Lord, even so. That's wonderful, isn't it? So Paul thanked the Lord for these dear Christians, for their growth exceedingly, and for their spiritual stature, expressing their faith and their love while enduring persecution. They walked, they worked, they waited for the coming of the Lord in difficult times, and we are approaching those here now. You've got a word here, abound. Go back to chapter 4 and verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at this word abound. There's a special meaning here. Abound. Chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Abound more and more. What does that word mean? The word abound means, expanding the word like Greek does, an overspreading as a flood covering everything. In other words, their life, their witness itself was abounding more and more. It was spreading and affecting others far and wide of their love, their work, their witness, their waiting for the Lord, living in holiness. 3 weeks old in the Lord. How amazing. That was it, wasn't it? Yeah. That's quite amazing, that is. It's also in 2 Thessalonians as well. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds towards one another. It's overspreading to all those that they met. What an example. What a witness in the light of their persecutions. And those surrounding churches, there were some clearly around them, they knew about their patience. They knew about their faith amidst persecution and much opposition. And God counted them worthy of the promise of the kingdom, a justified presence in the kingdom of Christ. And Christ will be glorified and honored by the life, the witness, and the work of these dear believers. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 11 and 12, Paul's prayer again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 11 and 12. Therefore, we also pray always for you, constant in prayer, that our God will count you worthy of this calling. Fulfill all the good pleasure with goodness and the work of faith with power. Yes, express your faith and witness with power of the Holy Spirit. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. Glory is coming according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful, isn't it? If we live and work for the glory of the Lord, he is pleased. We may share his glory and we'll be glorified in new bodies. As you can see that in verse 12, that we may be glorified in you and you in him, in Christ. Glory is to come. So we're called to walk worthy of the Lord. That's his expectations of faith in action produces fruit in every good work and witness. Serving the Lord, he will be glorified by all this. In godly living, godly serving, watching, waiting, working, and witnessing, while it is still day, for the night comes when we will find great difficulty in serving the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, look at that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 14. He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful future we have. What's something you aim for in faithfulness? The obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So stand fast, brethren. Verse 15. You were taught that, says Paul, by word or our letter. Yeah. Wonderful, isn't it? They were chosen from the very beginning. In verse 13, they were chosen, verse 13, 2 Thessalonians 2. God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit, separated out, and belief in the truth. Yeah, belief in the truth. God has called us, chosen us, saved us, preparing holiness and to be with the Lord. Wonderful, isn't it? Chosen from the beginning. How wonderful. Like Ephesians 1:4, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. So that's very wonderful. To believe in the truth. So this faithful Lord as he is towards us will establish us, govern us, keep us as his redeemed, saved, safe, secure, and sanctified in every good work and word. Verse 17, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 17. Comfort your hearts and establish you to every good word and work. And they were. Challenge to us too. Our hearts comforted, meaning strengthened and established for every good work and word. The Lord is our strength and our stay. How wonderful. So he says, coming to an end now, do not be weary in your good work. Press on. Press through. Face adversity. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 13, back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. That he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. The saints are coming who have already gone to be with the Lord. We meet them in the air. Wonderful, isn't it? And go to 2 Thessalonians, same chapter 3 and verse 13. Chapter 3 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Yes, it's exhausting. You are fatigued, but press on, press through. Your reward is coming for your faithfulness. That's very true. Now, remember, these believers are young in their faith, but they serve with a willing heart, having a sense of grateful duty. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord. What a privilege it is to handle the word of God. Sinners saved by grace, yes. Well, that's wonderful. Come towards an end now. So the day is coming when we will all live together with Christ. What a stimulus for us, as it was for them, to encourage faithful, waiting, watching, working, and witnessing until the coming of the Lord for his church. Hebrews 9:28 says this. Hebrews 9:28, I'll read it. Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for our final salvation. So as with the Thessalonian believers, so ourselves, discharge our responsibilities, working with the Lord, with the word of God. Love your Lord, joyfully serve him, love one another, serve with a freshness, a fervor, and a faithfulness, and fruit will come through every good word and every work for the Master. For he is worthy, isn't he, of such a walk. I like, if you will, as I'm going to close now, I'm going forward to Hebrews chapter 6. Would you go to Hebrews chapter 6? I'll wait for you to find it. Hebrews 6, and verses 10 to 12. Hebrews 6, verses 10 to 12. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, the same watchful care, to the full assurance of hope until the end, till the Lord comes for us. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith, persevering, through persecution, affliction, trials, suffering, yes. Hebrews 6:10-12. And I finish with the words of the Lord Jesus in Mark 13:37. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. What I say to you, said Jesus, I say to all, watch. Mark 13:37. So there you have it. There's the challenge. Wait for the coming of the Lord. Wait up, ready, expecting, watching for him and his appearing. Working, serving faithfully, witnessing until the coming of the Lord. These are the studies in 1 and 2 Thessalonians and a few other places. I trust this will bless, encourage, and comfort, and direct your way in the Lord's guidance in these coming days. We're children of light, but we have an ever darkening world around us. There's not much time left. The Lord bless you richly.